From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. This is remarkable. 10 years ago, on one of the first shows we ever broadcast, our crazy but true news story, the one you had to tell apart from the fake ones, was about a ridiculous fringe political candidate. We dared our audience to believe the story of a former feather boa-wearing professional wrestler who was running to be governor of Minnesota. Ha ha. Well, shortly thereafter, Jesse Ventura got himself elected, which embarrassed us a bit, but he made up for it by providing us with lots of material during his 4 years in office. Later in this hour, he will be our guest to play Not My Job. It's a sweet kind of reunion. It makes us hope that 10 years from now, we'll be trading jokes on the air with Senator Larry Craig. But first, it's your turn to start a long-term relationship with us. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant this week. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tracy Alexander calling from Roanoke, Virginia.
And how are things in Roanoke?
They're actually pretty lovely. It's springtime. And
oh,
so,
that's great.
Yeah,
springtime
it's very nice. South.
What do you do there?
Well, during the day, I'm a mild-mannered financial aid counselor at
and
Holland
at night,
University.
You fight crime.
Well, I like to imagine that I do. It's one of those few things I do in my free time.
Tracy, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to humorist and author, most recently of Long Time Leaving Dispatches from Up South, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hello.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi.
Next, the woman behind the syndicated advice column, Ask Amy, is Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Tracy.
And lastly, say hello to a humorist and the author, most recently of P.J. O'Rourke on the Wealth of Nations, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hello. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Tracy, welcome to the show. Now, we're going to start this week's show with a new game. This week, it seemed to us as if there were a lot of people out there trying to reach out and touch someone. So right now, Carl is going to recreate for you some voicemail messages we think might have been left by people in the news. It's a change of pace for Carl, as usually, of course, he does the greeting. Identify the newsmaker or a news story 2 times out of 3, you will win our prize. Ready to play?
I certainly hope so.
Okay. Your first message was one we imagined might have been left on Hillary Clinton's answering machine on Wednesday.
Hey, Hill, just wanted to call and congratulate you on beating Obama so soundly in West Virginia. I mean, that's huge. Oh, and one other thing. I'm endorsing Obama. Sorry if I led you on. Give my best to Bill. See ya.
So who might that have been that was glad that Hillary didn't pick up?
That was John Edwards.
Yes, indeed. As a successful trial lawyer, if there's one thing John Edwards knows, it's how to make sure he is on the winning side. So after months of playing hard to get, he finally endorsed Obama right after Obama's victory in the Democratic race seemed certain, but not so late that he won't be able to ask for a favor later on. Maybe Edwards wants to try to be vice president again on the grounds that he can appeal to those resistant white Southerners. The campaign slogan can be, if you combine them, they're both just tan. I mean, does it make a difference? I mean, here you have a failed presidential candidate endorsing a successful presidential candidate. Is this big news? Is this going to make any difference, you guys think?
What would that constitute, making a difference? I mean, the only way that you can make a difference in this long Democratic thing is to suggest that there might be an end to it.
Right.
Is there a fat lady who could sing?
All right, here's your next message. It's one we think that might have been left on the voicemail of a Detroit TV reporter.
Hey there. Look, I just want to say I'm sorry I called you sweetie. It was sexist and condescending and does not represent my profound respect for you and all women. Thanks for understanding, babe. You're a doll.
So who really had to apologize to a TV reporter after calling her a sweetie?
Barack Obama?
Barack Obama, yes.
No.
The nearly victorious Democratic candidate was caught on camera dismissing a female reporter's question by saying, quote, hold on a second, sweetie.
Oof.
This led to widespread criticism that he would never say such a thing to Tim Russert. Although you don't know. After the camera goes off. Anyway.
He can't say bitter. He can't say sweetie. What can he say?
Yeah.
Now, the weird thing is that Obama really did leave a voicemail message for the reporter. In the real one, he apologized for both blowing her off and for calling her sweetie. He says, quote, that's a bad habit of mine. I do it sometimes with all kinds of people, unquote. This is true. He almost caused a riot back in Ohio by using it to address a room full of Teamsters. And, of course, there was the outcry when the tape emerged of the senator dismissing the concerns of rural working class women, calling them, quote, bitter sweeties.
Oh, I see. I see.
You know, if he was a Southern woman, he would have gotten away with it.
That's true.
But he's not.
I'm sorry, you just made my head explode. Right. If Barack Obama was a Southern
woman.
You know, we need to start the whole thing over again.
I'm sorry.
We could take that.
He'd be a Barack Obama mama.
No. He would be. You're doing great. Your last message was one that, in our imagination, was left by a parent for his young children.
Hey, honey, I just wanted to let you know that we've got some exciting new plans for this summer's vacation. We're going to go camping in the backyard. And we can go swimming down at the quarry. And instead of that amusement park, what do you say we ride downhill really fast in a shopping cart?
We imagine a lot of parents will be telling their kids that the summer vacation won't be as cool as they had hoped because of what?
Stupid gas prices.
Those stupid gas prices,
no.
Exactly right. The AAA this week announced that fewer Americans will be driving more than 50 miles or taking flights for the long Memorial Day weekend. It's the first real sign that Americans have hit a tipping point with gas prices. So instead of theme parks and beaches, many Americans will be trying to convince the kids that Walmart is a thrill ride with low, low prices. If you want to lower your consumption of gasoline, experts recommend combining errands, making sure your tires are fully inflated. And for owners of the largest SUVs, Hummers, etc., you just need to get rid of them and reconcile yourself to your inadequacies.
That could take all summer.
You Prius-driving pinko bums.
We're confident. We don't need.
I got two Chevy Suburbans, and if gas hits $5, I'm going for three and a close personal relationship with a Saudi royal family.
Carl, how did our guests do in our quiz?
Well, Tracy had three correct answers, Peter. So, Tracy, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Wonderful.
Well done.
All right, Tracy. Good work.